Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for us on this Reformation Sunday is taken from the book of Romans in the third chapter, where again we hear, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith." This is God's word. This morning, on this Reformation Sunday, I invite you to use your imagination along with me as we consider what it might have been like to meet someone who had lived at the time of the Reformation. By some wrinkle in time, I find myself in your presence today, and I am amazed to see you celebrating a day of Reformation. It is incredible to find myself here in a church that calls itself Lutheran, because you see, I was born in 1490, and Martin Luther was my pastor. I was born and grew up in the north central part of Germany in a little town called Wittenberg. There weren't many more than 2,000 people living there at that time, although that would eventually change. My family scratched out a living. My father worked in the local brewery, and most of what was brewed stayed in town, if you know what I mean. I wish I could tell you something romantic about life back then, but I can't. Existence was hard, short, and often brutal. Death haunted Europe back then. The plague, which is just a history book story to you, was all too real to us. For example, in the town of Strasbourg, 16,000 people died in 1 year's time. Little villages surrounding about 300 in the region were completely deserted by the time that was done. More babies died than survived after childbirth. Beggars and panhandlers were everywhere, not to mention thieves. And we German peasants were far from being peaceful workers of the land. We tended to solve a lot of things with fists, knives, and clubs. It's a wonder I lived as long as I did. Even so, the church was an ever-present part of life. On our little town square sat the city church, and just a few blocks away was the castle church. An Augustinian monastery and university were in our town too. And I'm told that I was baptized on the day I was born because my survival was not guaranteed. I made it though, and grew up like so many others in our little town, aware of the great importance of the church, but with no real idea at all about what basic Christianity consisted of. I know how strange this must sound to you, but back then, we simply did what the church told us to do. The idea of picking up a Bible and reading what it said wasn't even something that occurred to us as possible. We believed what the priests told us, no question. Now, of course, everyone wanted to avoid the torments of hell, so we did what we were told. And what we were told was that all people have a little spark of good inside of them. God gives you some grace to get things going, and then it's up to you to make your salvation sure by doing as much good as you can in the world. I guess another way of saying it was that we were taught that we could earn the grace of God by doing our best. So that's exactly what we did. We did our best for our beloved dead. The church had told us about a place called purgatory, kind of a holding tank for souls of our departed loved ones, and their souls stayed there for thousands upon thousands of years unless we did something about it, and we did our best. We spent our money on certificates called indulgences, which promised that our loved ones would escape purgatory more quickly and be in heaven sooner. And please, understand, we were just doing what we were told. In 1511, when I was 21 years old, a monk named Martin Luther was sent to Wittenberg to begin teaching in the university and preaching in the castle church in my town. And this was news, but not big news. All of us thought that he was going to come to our town to ask for more money to be sent to Rome. Boy, were we wrong. Now, at first, Dr. Luther's preaching was not all that different than what we had heard before, but it seemed the longer he stayed in Wittenberg, the longer he studied and taught in the university, the more his messages changed. We started hearing more and more about a different Jesus than we were used to. You know, we were used to Jesus as a righteous judge. Jesus as the perfect example for us to follow. But Dr. Luther kept talking about and preaching a Jesus who was different. He showed us Jesus as a servant. Jesus as our Savior, as a sacrifice for us. At first, this was really hard to understand because it was so different from anything that we had ever heard before. One day, Dr. Luther read to us a passage from Romans, and it said this: "The righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." And I'll never forget the way that Dr. Luther explained that passage to us. He said, "If some complaint should be registered against a heart that believes in Christ and testify against it concerning some evil deed, then the heart turns itself away and turns to Christ and says, 'But He made satisfaction. He is the righteous one, and this is my defense. He died for me, and He made His righteousness mine, and made my sin His own. And if He has my sin, then I don't have it. And I'm free.' This I had never heard before. It seemed too good to be true. I struggled to grasp what Dr. Luther was saying. I wanted very much for these words to be true for me, but I could not escape feeling not good enough. I felt my sins had to disqualify me from God's favor. So I approached Dr. Luther one evening about 5 years after he came to Wittenberg. I poured out my heart to him. I confessed my sin, all my sinful acts. And he looked me right in the eye. And with a look of great compassion, he said to me, "Learn Christ and Him crucified. Despairing of your sin, learn to pray to Him saying, 'Lord Jesus, You are my righteousness. I am your sin. You have taken on yourself what you were not, and you have given to me what I was not.'" And do you know, I prayed that prayer for the rest of my life. When I was 27 years old, Dr. Luther began publicly asking questions about the sale of indulgences, those certificates I was telling you about. On October 31st, 1517, he posted his 95 theses against the sale of indulgences on the door of our church. And his life would never be the same. Neither would my life, or the life of anyone in our town, and dare I say, the world, would never be the same. Maybe you know the story of how Dr. Luther was excommunicated, how he went into hiding, how he came back to preach and teach again in Wittenberg. Maybe you know about his writings, such as the Small Catechism. Maybe you've sung his hymns like "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Perhaps you know about the protection that the German princes gave Luther's buddies, his Reformation pastors, when they made their statement of faith at Augsburg. You may even know how millions of people worship in churches that were part of the Reformation that accompanied and followed Dr. Luther's work. Whether or not you know any of those things, here's what I know. Dr. Luther was my pastor. If it wasn't for him, I would have purchased indulgences until the day that I died and then hoped that someone would buy them for me. If it hadn't been for him, I would have never had a Bible in my own language, good old Deutsch, speaking to me God's Word. If it hadn't been for him, I would have never known Jesus the way the Bible describes him, not as a frowning judge, but a loving brother who even went to the cross to purchase my soul. It was also Dr. Luther who taught me that being a good husband and father and doing my job well honored God just as much as any priest does doing his work. Was Dr. Luther a perfect man? He'd be the first to emphatically tell you, no way. But he showed me who Jesus really is. And I'm eternally grateful for that. And that's my story. But before I go, I have to ask you, brothers and sisters who bear the Lutheran name, what's it like? What's it like to have the Bible so accessible in your language, available everywhere? What's it like to have Jesus clearly proclaimed in your pulpits and in your schools and in your homes? Certainly, the good news of Christ crucified and risen is still reforming the church and the world, isn't it?